Welcome to the Garden Talk podcast, where we interview growers from all over the world, both beginners and experts, seeking to learn more about what they know about gardening and how they do things in their garden. Hey, what's up, everybody? For those of you that don't know me, my name is Chris, aka Mr. Grow It, and you're tuned into the Garden Talk podcast. This episode number 126. In this episode, I interview Patrick and Mrs. Grow Daddy from Grow Daddy TV. They have been gardening for 4 years and grow a variety of plants such as tomato, basil, cilantro, parsley, medicinal plants, and more. One of their main goals when gardening is to achieve a top quality product and get a high yield, which I thought would be an excellent topic for today's episode, how to get both quality and yield. If you want to see short clips of these podcast episodes, search Garden Talk Clips on YouTube. I also have a gardening channel where I show the plants that I've grown. I'll have both of those channels linked down in the YouTube description section below. One of my goals for this podcast is to bring free information about gardening to the general public. That being said, I'd like to thank the sponsors of today's episode who helped make that goal possible. Thanks to Seedsman for sponsoring this episode. Go to seedsman.com, pick yourself up some amazing genetics, and use the discount code MrGrowIt, AC Infinity. Check out their CloudRay Gen 2 Oscillated Clip Fan. Their next-gen clip fan has been re-engineered to provide a long-lasting motor and customizable airflow for all stages of your plant's growth cycle. It features 10 speeds and 10 dynamic wind modes to simulate outdoor airflow and links with UIS controllers for Wi-Fi app control. Click the link in the description section below so you can learn more about their CloudRay clip fans, and the discount code MrGrowIt15 works on both Amazon and their website, acinfinity.com. Stash Blend. Stash Blend is a 2-1-5 plant additive that can be used with synthetic bottled nutrients or in living soil systems. Simply mix half teaspoon of Stash Blend into a gallon of water, then water your plants with it. Ingredients include corn steep liquor, seaweed extract, humic acid, beneficial bacteria, silica, and mycorrhizal fungi. Check it out at stashblend.com, link in the description section below, and use the discount code THESTASH. And we are back. Welcome to the Garden Talk podcast. Today I am joined with Patrick and Mrs. Grow Daddy from Grow Daddy TV. How y'all doing today?
Hey, thanks for having us, Chris. What can I say? You're awesome, dude. Glad to be on your show. Huge fan. Huge fan.
Happy to have you both on. I mean, you reached out to me, it seems like a year or two ago, looking to come on, and I apologize for not having you on earlier than this. It's just the amount of requests I get from people looking to come on, and then we've got guests that are looking to come back on. So I'm trying to like balance everything, and finally was able to get you on. So I appreciate your flexibility and your patience there.
Are you kidding, Chris? That was like a year. I'm not even paying attention. It was like a year, 5 months, 4 days, and 3 hours ago.
Not the week track.
I'm excited for today's conversation, but before we kind of get into things, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Maybe how you got into gardening as well?
Yeah, you know, I've always kind of had a little bit of a green, you know, green thumb. I would kind of plant some flowers around the house. I come from Northern California, now living in Canada. I moved up here about 6 years ago.
Yes.
But I liked flowers and stuff in the yard. And when I moved up here, I didn't do a lot, you know, a lot before that. And then when I moved up here, I think the law got passed that we could legalize medicinal plants. And well, I think the next year I was here, the next summer that was coming up, I got a hold of a couple small plants and threw them on the deck and figured I'd just kind of grow them out like tomato plants, more or less. Didn't really know a lot about growing, you know, because I was a truck driver my whole life. And so I couldn't consume anything.
Yeah, he got tests, you know, regular random tests or whatever as a truck driver.
So anyways, this was really exciting for me to move up here. Coming Northern California would have been a perfect place to grow, by the way. But nevertheless, moved up here and grew my first couple on the deck and found out very quickly this is not a really good place to grow this type of plant. Because we had a real crappy summer. I think it rained every day except for I had a buddy come up and visit me that year. And he visited me. I remember he was up here for in August. He was up here for
actual summer.
It was just horrible. But I grew some really big plants, just adding water to some decent soil and some fertilizer, I suppose. Not knowing what the hell I was doing. Grew some pretty decent plants. But of course, I didn't know how to dry and cure. And I hadn't gotten on the YouTube channels yet. You got to remember, I'm old, right? So I'm not on YouTube. I'm not doing all this young guy stuff.
Yeah, you started on Roll It Up.
So I went to a couple forums and got a little bit of information, but I don't even think I got it yet. I was still working on my own. So I dried it, just doing what seemed to be right. I dried it, just the most horrible stuff in the world. But I'll tell you what.
It was pretty bad. And we are in Canada, in like, you know, the west coast of Canada. So it is, it's just dark and wet.
And you may remember your first grows, Chris. I mean, you thought you were growing some great stuff, right? Because I'll tell you what, my first, I thought I was growing anything. I thought it was the best stuff on earth. And that's one of the greatest things is when you're growing your own stuff, even if it's bad, it probably tastes really good because you're growing it, right? So, and then the next year I said, you know what? I can't do this outside. Let me try this indoors. And that's, I think, when I started getting into watching YouTube videos. But even then I didn't look because my first one was kind of in the dark with a 4x4 and some lights. And that was 4 years ago when I started growing indoors with basic. I just decided I was going to grow indoors organically. Because why? Because when I go to the dispensary, that's the most expensive stuff. Why do I want to grow the cheaper stuff when I have total control of it? I didn't know why I was growing organically. I was growing organically because it was so expensive to buy organic. And that was my basic, you know, start in it. And that's how I started, I think, in a 4x4 with a TS3000 Mars Hydro. That's how I started growing. And I didn't start that way. Just to let you know, I was growing and then I got on a forum and I'm showing some pictures as I'm starting to go into transition. And I'm showing the light and somebody goes like this in one of the forums, goes, that's a blurple. What kind of power, blah, blah. And they asked me a few questions and I go, it is what it is. It's a blurple, whatever it is. And it's giving me like
a really good deal.
It's giving me like 200 watts for the 4x4, you know, on flower, but I'm only using 100 watts through veg. And honest to God, this thing vegged everything out really nice, but really low. Everything was really nice. It filled up the whole tent, kind of vegged it out before I went into transition. But I got this thing in the forum. And I said, oh, this guy's telling me I'm not going to be able to grow good flowers with the light that I have, this blurple. So now I got to start doing research.
Oh, there's a huge emergency, like a research emergency.
A little bit. And I think this is what really powered me into the YouTube and started looking at other growers and and then you get a lot of bad advice at this point, you know, or you're looking, you're getting too much. They're saying put 2000 watts, you know, they're just, so you start, you know, it's the excess that you get from the, and everybody wants on the internet seem to want me to put too much fertilizers, too much water, too much everything in a grow.
Yeah, he was getting some pretty bad advice,
Needless to say, I put that light in the grow, and it just did a beautiful job on the girls. What can I say? For the first grow, and I got that light in there. I ordered the light just at transition, so I had about 2 or 3 weeks to get the light, and I was just putting that light in just at about the second or third week of flower, just when it needed it, and turned out my first grow was just amazing. I was hooked. Ever since, you don't even know. Hooked. Absolutely hooked.
That's awesome. That's really cool. Yeah, 200 watts in a 4x4. I'm thinking about that. I'm like, oh, geez, I don't think that is enough.
200 watt blurple.
Yeah, yeah. So it's good that you were able to kind of upgrade and get through flower and have a successful grow there.
Unbelievable tent. Unbelievable tent full of flowers. Unbelievable. I still look back at it and go, man, that was just a gorgeous, gorgeous grow. To look on the internet or to look in pictures, it was just one of those beautiful, beautiful canopies. And even the canopy, which, by the way, I saw your Kyle Cushman video the other day.
Oh, yeah.
My guru.
Yeah.
He's like the first guy I listened to about when I got to transition on that grow when I got to transition and about default, because I didn't do any lollipopping or anything on it. But when I got to transition, I listened to, I found a video of Kyle Cushman, and he started talking about the super cropping and about the, Kyle Cushman
chiropractic.
And then hearing that on your show the other day, him talk about it, I had no idea
we learned a couple things.
Well, I had no idea this was him. I thought he was just kind of jokingly saying this is Cushman chiropractic, which is what I've always kind of called it, thinking that somebody else invented it. I didn't know if it was his invention, but he kind of coined it. He kind of said this was his. So I respect Kyle. Respect, buddy.
Yeah, that was a great conversation. Really thrilled that I got him on there because he has just done so much over the years, 30 plus years doing not only growing, but advocate as well in the space. So
I think he pointed me in the right direction, you know, for the first. I've just gotten lucky. I've gotten some pieces. And I talk about a lot of things with golf. You know, you just get some lucky shots. And you know what? He was definitely my lucky shot because I got a way of doing it. And then watching a few videos on different styles that people are growing, which is really cool. But he was basically with the style of you know, lollipopping and taking off everything all the way up to the top node, and not really going all the way down the stem, which has I've just kind of gotten better at, you know, with each grow, and kind of also using some common sense, because I know genetics, you can grow some good stuff and grow some really good material all the way down the stems and get some really hard, dense flowers down on the bottom. But you got to know those genetics. And we grow different stuff in our tents every grow. Because remember, I just started this. I mean, I'm trying new stuff and still trying to figure out what I like and what I don't like. And I'm doing a lot of experimenting. So I'm growing something different, usually a different pheno, a different genetic, you know, most grows. And I don't know how it's going to grow out. So getting the flowers all the way to the top and not messing around with all this stuff, I've eliminated, almost completely eliminated larf in my grows, which to me...
That's the number one kind of thing that you go for, is like that...
Who wants to trim it?
Hard, dense bud.
I mean, who wants to trim larf? That's the biggest thing for me is, you know, you're in larf jail. I find myself now looking forward to the trim. I mean, I look forward to it. It's just fun trimming dense, you know, flowers. Absolutely fun.
You won't let me trim anymore because it's so much fun.
True.
Yeah, and that's a part of quality for a lot of people, is getting those rock hard nugs versus more of a larfier structure. And yeah, it does come down to genetics. Some are just going to naturally be larfy or airy throughout the whole grow, but others, you know, with the right conditions, with the right nutrition, lighting, so on and so forth, you can get that quality you're looking for and even that yield you're looking for. And that's really what this conversation is going to be about today. One of the things you mentioned behind the scenes when we were talking about what topics that you like to talk about, you mentioned that you aim for both quality and yield. And when I heard that, I figured that's a great topic. It actually reminded me of a video I created, it's got to be 4 or 5 years ago now, where I talked about why I grow small plants. And one of the things I mentioned in that video was that I don't really need the yield. I'm just growing for myself. So I grow a bunch of different cultivars. I aim for, you know, a couple, 2-3 ounces. So I don't really focus on yield. I focus more on quality. Well, people took that a little sideways. They're like, hey, you can get yield and quality on, you know. So I didn't mean to speak it like that. But for the most part, having a conversation, you can absolutely get yield and quality in the same grow. And that's what we're going to talk about today, how you do that, because that is one of your common goals. Now, before we get into kind of the details on that, the style of gardening. Are you, I think you mentioned you're organic indoors. Is that your kind of grow style that you go for these days?
Well, I started out growing with Happy Frog and Fox Farm, right? All, you know, Fox Farm, the ocean forest. And then they stopped selling it in Canada last year for some reason. That's kind of what I went to in the beginning, because of course the forums, everybody, you know, you just go places in the beginning where you're kind of directed, you know, for soil, because you don't know anything. So you just take some advice. Everybody's using it. So I did. That's what I used. I burned some seedlings and then, of course, used a Happy Frog in the beginning, you know, changed over using Happy Frog. But nevertheless, they stopped selling it. And it did what I thought was a decent job. But I started mixing my own soil using kind of the Coots, you know, method, more or less. You know, everybody takes their own spin on it. And I've taken my own spin on it and just started, because I had to come up with a new soil.
A whole new recipe.
I think it was last grow or the grow before, or something, we didn't last have it. Grow. Something. So anyway, so I basically, you know, the Coots recipe is basically a third, a third, a third, a third drainage, a third, compost, and a third peat. Right. So I basically, I dumb everything down because I'm kind of dumb. And
so that I can understand it.
No, it's so I can understand it. And it's almost hard explaining dumb, but let me try. So I take my peat, right? I went to ProMix because it's got the peat, it's got the perlite already in it. And then I add, so I'll take two-thirds ProMix with, that's what I'll mix. And then I'll put in a third worm castings with some sort of, what would we call it?
Compost.
I got a bag of compost laying around for the garden for outside. I like to throw some of that compost in too, just so we mix in some more microbes, or just get some stuff that the worm castings didn't have in it. And then I'll add about a 10% more perlite. And then I'll put Gaia Green. I use Gaia Green amendments, organic amendments. And I use the 444 and the 284, and I blend them. And I think when I do the main soil, when I first start out with the main soil, I do that. I do half and half, and they require 3 tablespoons per gallon is what I do. except it's 1.5 of each for the soil and let it cook for like a month.
In the garage.
In the garage. And that's, I find that to be a real gentle mix for the seedlings. And so so that's starting right off. After it's cooked for a month, we're good for seedlings. And it does a real good job on them. And then every time I do an up pot, I add more amendments to the soil. Like I'm going to be doing another up pot to a 1.5. And when I go up to the 1.5 gallon, of course, that's going to be my veg, and they're going to be sitting in there for 6 weeks. Yeah, they're going to be sitting there for six, seven weeks, but probably more like 6 weeks. And I'll do dry back on those. Well, I'll talk about watering. But so then I will add 4-4-4 and maybe like, I'm going to go less. Boy, it really gets going. But I'm going to add less of that this time around because I'm still trying to get the recipe. Because I'm getting some tips, you know, little burn tips. It's not bad, but if I start adjusting my amendments back, I'm gonna get that soil perfect eventually. So I'm adjusting that my mixes back. And if people come out to my show, they'll see my recipe changing a little bit as we go through it. The recipe's good. It did a better job than I think my soil has done a better job than it ever did with the Fox Farm.
Yeah.
And
Sorry, Fox Farm.
I think I found a new, you know, I was forced to go outside of my little comfort zone and go do something on my own, which is, like I said, I'm really.
It was a huge concern, a huge worry, like doing the last grow without it.
Well, I started, in fact, I was going to reuse my soil. And I thought that sounded like a great idea until it just did a horrible job on some vegging girls that I had. And I said, okay, we're only doing 4 plants. You know, I don't need to save the world by, you know, saving the soil. And I can also use it outside, you know, for four plants. So I veg for about 6 weeks. And then before I do my up pot for my transition, and that's when I'll add a little bit of the 284 to that as well, but not as much. And then when I go up to the transition to the next pot up, and I pot up to 7 gallon pots now. And when I pot up to those, and I'm using the same soil I started with. I'm just adding to it. So then I will amend, I was amending 3 tablespoons per gallon, but I think I'm dropping all my amendments. When I go back to re-amend, I'm re-amending at 2 tablespoons per gallon.
Instead of the three.
But I'll be using more 284, right? I'll be using like 75%, 80%, you know, 284. And then I'll still be throwing in a little 4-4-4 in the end, I think. And then I do two top dressings. See, this is what she does for me. She's awesome. I add 2 top dressings, and I add the first top dressing. Oh my goodness!
Right before flip,
yeah,
you add the top dressing, and then a few weeks after flip.
Right? Oh my goodness gracious! Yeah, I don't think I do a top dressing in veg. I just let it go 6 weeks, just in that soil, and then I'll up pot,
it's looking good.
And then in the third week, this is how easy it is. And then in the third week of flower, I think I do a top dressing. I'm done. You know, that's. It couldn't get any easier. It just couldn't get any easier. And you know what? This last few grows, I've experimented a little bit with, with adding things to the soil and feeding the soil with such things as
molasses,
maybe making a few teas. I've
voodoo juice. We go to that the store, right? The organic Mr. What's it called? Mr. Fertilizer. We go to the store and they kind of go like, "Hey, try this," and you know, like, and I can't take her
there anymore because she'll just buy everything,
get
right?
This, honey.
Yeah, we'll get this.
And
I'm taking stuff off shelf, and I think I'm actually at this point not allowed there anymore. At this point, my girl, I'm trying to establish a baseline of how much. Do I really need to put in the soil? Because I'm growing some really good stuff. They're just beautiful. I'm growing what I want to be growing, and we haven't talked about yield yet because I'm not using CO2, so I'm not getting any stupid yields. But I'm trying for between 5 and 6 ounces of dense. We're not counting larf. We're not counting anything else between 5 and 6 ounces. If I get over 6 ounces, I feel like I've done it. And 5 ounces, I think, well, you know, your genetics are just not going to. Some genetics are just going to give you more than others. But if I'm getting 5 ounces, I think I've done my job with the girls. And I'm like I said, I'm getting a baseline by I'm not putting anything in the soil. I haven't for the last few grows, and I'm really good. Nothing. That's how easy it is.
Yeah, he stopped doing teas. He used to do.
But I'm thinking I will eventually, once I've really got a good baseline of what my grows are, I think I'll start maybe feeding the soil and seeing if there's any improvements with yield or quality, which you know, this is kind of how, and I like to think that I'm relating to a lot of growers out there that are growing medicinal plants, 1, 2, 3, 4 of them, you know, because not everybody's doing 12, 15, 20 plants or even 10 plants.
Yeah. Our limit is 4 in Canada.
Yeah. Our limit's 4. And of course I could go out there and get a license for other, you know, for medicinal. I could go out and get licensed to probably grow more. I'm retired. I'm not looking for another job. You know, I'm really not. I mean, what I do is,
Four is enough.
No, but what I do in the garden, but it enables me to spend, I mean, if you have 12 kids, are you going to give them all what they need? You're not. You just, I don't think you are. If you have 4 children and you spend so much time down there with them, they're getting so much attention. It's really awesome.
And that is how you came up with your name, Grow Daddy, because I kind of, he used to, when he first started growing, he'd like run downstairs and upstairs and like, oh, the girls are doing this, you know, and I was like, you're just like a daddy.
Listen, Chris, I have two hobbies, okay? I golf. I'm retired, by the way. If I didn't mention I'm retired. So I golf and I do my grow. And I think I have as much passion for both of them. I really do. I'm so passionate. I go around my friends can't stand me. They can't stand me because this is all I talk about, right? I talk about either growing or golf. And if you're not into one of those, you shouldn't be in the room I'm in. Yeah. Because I get so stupid. I feel dumb.
That's funny. You did a really, really good job of explaining really nutrition, what's in your soil mix. You know, you're in the 2/3 pro mix, 1/3 worm castings with compost. You got some perlite in there, Gaia Green amendments. You cook for a month. Then you're up potting. You're adding more amendments. I got a little notes here, cheating. I don't have those memorized. Okay. I did take notes here, but.
I forgot a couple things. I put dolomite lime in there. I had about a tablespoon, and I didn't for the seedlings, but I got it before I do this next up pot. I want to add some dolomite lime. I don't even know what the hell it does. I just figure it won't hurt, you know, and I'm putting the tablespoon in.
It was good last time.
Everything worked last time. I really want to stay to the same thing I did last time, except I want to start decreasing my amendments a little bit because I got a little bit of tip burn. I think when I get that tip burn out of there, and another thing about going on is all these additives like CalMag and all this different stuff, deficiencies. I don't even know what a deficiency is. I don't see them. I absolutely don't see. I don't never use CalMag. I never use. So,
yeah, whatever.
I mean, I see a lot of stuff. Whatever the hell I'm doing, it's called dummy growing. I have absolutely. I've grown some ugly plants. Let me tell you. I mean, my first few grows with too much light. I mean, I have screwed up some plants. But when you start getting that light on there right, and you start giving them the right amount of water, and you're not overwatering or underwatering or stressing them out. And you're giving them just putting in some decent amendments, like they just don't ask for. They just haven't asked me for anything else. They just don't start crying for magnesium and
the CalMag thing. Everyone's always talking about CalMag, and we're kind of going like.
I think that's a lot of synthetic growers mainly, though. CalMag, I think I don't know.
Right? Used. Yeah, you guys, the organic route. You know, with the Gaia Green, it's really a complete fertilizer. Right, it's a fertilizer blend with all natural organic inputs. And yeah, that gets you through the grow without having any CalMag or any bottles, really. A lot of people go that route and they're very successful. And the fact that you mentioned 7-gallon containers, a little bit larger, they often say with the organic inputs, larger the container, the easier it is to grow. So
I would like to grow in a 20-gallon container.
So
I mean, I would really have to do nothing. I think I would start at 20-gallon and just and water it once every 2 weeks. I don't know. You just do nothing. So going to the 7-gallon for me has been perfect because I don't feel like I'm throwing away a lot of soil at the end of a grow. Yet I feel like I'm able to keep my soil as wet or as dry as I want it. And to stimulate, I guess, the microbes, and they will chomp down on the amendments more and give me and make all the amendments more accessible to the roots and bigger roots, more roots. Big fruits, right? As they say.
Absolutely.
And I don't even know, you know, I hear a lot of things about all of this quantity coming out of a lot of tents. And I think that a lot of people tune into that. You know, they hear a pound or they hear 2 or 3 pounds out of a 4x4 or they hear these really huge numbers coming out of these tents and they want to grow that way. And as a beginner, I'll first tell you guys, stop. Stop trying to do this. You know, after you've been around them for a few years, you know, I think you can start adding CO2 and get a handle on it. But one of the biggest, and I have
we're
to
not
also,
there yet.
But I also have to say this, one of the biggest, I have to mention some of the biggest things that have changed my growing. And one of them is listening to In the Tent. I think it's In the Tent. Just
welcome
simple. Welcome to the Grow Tent. Some of the stupidest things get mentioned that just get in here. And I haven't seen one of his videos in a while. I really liked him. He's really
by stupid. He means awesome.
Yeah. By stupid, I mean awesome. So he's the only YouTuber I really heard and still have ever heard talk besides me, because I have mentioned it every show now, is how to read the leaves.
Uh-oh.
You know, nobody talks. No, nobody. I'm not going to do it here. You have to come to my show to watch it. But nobody talks about reading plants. And this is something that in my head, if I would have known in the beginning, I would have been able to. They talk about, okay, they're getting white. Okay. But you've went past reading the plants. You're to the stage of burning them seriously now. They don't talk about just reading the plants, how they raise up and pray if they want more light, or how they're kind of leaning over a little bit if they don't want light. Reading the plants has become so important to me in the grow because it stopped me from doing a lot of dumb stuff with lights, basically. And I think that was huge. And
that's
oh, and
been
he
a
mentioned
game changer.
And why can't I think of his name? I don't know, but I owe kudos to him because he talked about reading the plant, and I go, reading the leaves. I didn't know that. This is dumb. Maybe GT. Maybe okay. I just never heard this. So dummy me, I've been through, I don't know how many grows, and I'm looking at my plants and I don't know what the hell I'm looking at. And he mentions leaves and it was like an aha moment.
Because they
aha
they,
moment.
They pray when they want more and they lie flat when they've got enough.
So you won't see any burning leaves in my
and
grow.
They curl over like that when they are getting burnt, basically.
Yeah. But well, you go on the forums and what do you see? Put 2,000 watts on that. You know, they're just having you hammer it. You know, and as a new grower, you hear that stuff. And these guys, and if you're out there looking like, what light should I buy? Oh, buy something with 10,000 watts in it and then crank that thing up in there and you're going to get some huge grows. And that's what I heard a lot of. And if I didn't hear that, that's what I thought I was hearing. And that's what I tried to kind of emulate in the beginning. And I think GT just, one dumb comment, just like Mr. Bruce, your channel, dude, your channel. I've heard more great... Bruce Bubby, but I've heard more great tips from watching your podcast from all the great people you've had on here. I think I've just gained so much knowledge from growing from your channel, this channel right here, than any other channel. I just love this channel. And thank you, Chris, for having it, because I think you're doing a service. And I'm not just, you know, I'm just saying I think you're doing a service to all of us that are starting out growing.
Creating the culture here.
Science,
actually.
You're adding so much science to it, which we need. And I'm all about science, even though, and I like to say I'm a science guy, but I don't understand it. You know what I mean? Hey, I think Joe Rogan says it best. Hey, I know how to use a cell phone, but I couldn't build it.
Yeah.
You know? You know, and a lot of these guys are scientists that are growing. Right? They're mixing all these chemicals.
Like
they're
Bruce putting Bugby.
Well, no, I'm also talking about just YouTubers. If you're watching YouTubers, they've been doing this stuff for years. Mm-hmm. They're adding, you know, this much to this, and they know the PM pump, so they got to cut back on this. This was too much for me. This was way too much for my head, too much work. When am I going to have time to golf? I got to study this stuff. You know, so growing in soil to me was just so easy. That's the best way to put it. I just love it. And I could tell any beginner, if I could tell, and I know this is probably a closing question, but if I could tell any beginner anything, I'm going to tell a beginner to grow, start in soil. I'm just going to tell them to start in soil. It's just a no-brainer. I'm dumb. Anybody else that's just starting something's got to feel a little dumb, all right?
Well, I appreciate your positive words about the podcast. That really does give me fuel to keep on going. Yeah, that's the whole reason why I do is just try to spread information, good information, and get folks from all experience levels on the podcast, because I believe that even some beginners, there's takeaways for some stuff, you know, even if you're very experienced and you hear a beginner talk, you might hear something that they say that kind of brings you back like, oh, you know what? I've been ignoring that part. Let me start focusing back on that part again. But anyways, thank you so much for your feedback there.
I could go on and on. And like I said, I know I said I wasn't going to be a huge fanboy, but I can't help it. I just can't help it, Chris. I can't help it, buddy. You bring so much. You know what I have told everybody? I tell everybody that all my buddies that I'm golfing with, You know, and they're thinking, God, no, not again. He's going to talk about his grow again. I go, I'm going to be on a podcast. I'm going to be on Mr. Grow. You're not going to believe I'm going to.
Wait, we're like Wayne's World. You know, we're not worthy.
Yeah. And we do. And by the way, we do, when we do our show, we are trying to do some edutainment as well to bring people, you know, to the grow. And you know what? That's all Mrs. Grow Daddy right here. She is. And she's motivated by people liking our show. And that really motivates her to do the editing. I've heard you talk about editing, that you were over it. You know, I've heard you say this. I've heard every word you said, Chris. I'm stalking you, kind of. But, you know, so I've heard you say that you're over the editing. So listen, I don't want any part of it. So I'm with you, Chris. I got other things to do. But she's kind of the geek in our relationship. She's kind of geeky.
I'm kind of into it. Yeah.
So anyways, we do a lot of fun stuff in a row. And you know what? And just to add to it, this grow has helped us in coming together. Is this not weird? I mean, I'm not kidding, because, you know, we lead separate lives in some ways. You know, she's off on her computer doing her geeky things, and I'm out playing golf, and I'm, you know, but down in the grow room, we find each other. When we do a film day, we do our filming on usually Tuesdays, and we do our film day, we have to spend the whole day together, you know, and
it's a collab.
You don't even know, but we've had to learn to work together, because she's got to deal with a diva, and I've got to learn to deal with. I'm learning to deal with a producer, a director, and uptight. I might add uptight.
They call it a predator, you know, like a producer editor. So I'm like, you know, like, just keep that shorter or whatever.
And you know what? She brings me around, because I'm like, no. But you know, I end up, I'm learning that if I just do it her way, it comes out pretty good. And I just got to keep my mouth shut, because I'm an A personality. So I like to do things my way all the time. And I just have to give way. I just have to give way.
Sometimes that's for the better, right? I do want to bring it back and talk about, you touched upon a little bit about watering. We covered nutrition, what you're using for container size, and so on and so forth. But kind of directly relating to that is watering. What's your water source? And how do you go about watering?
Well, my water source is good here. I've heard you mention you got this pretty crappy water source where you are. We have tap water that comes out, I think it's like 26 ppm, something like that. I think it's like 26, though. It's 40. It's really not big of a difference. So it comes out
clean.
Pretty clean. And I think on my first grow, I don't think I filtered any of it, or I should say I didn't do anything to it. I just ordered it right out of the tap. You can look at those plants. They're unbelievable. No, I didn't do a good thing. I could give them justice after that, but that was just regular tap water. Now, I find myself using, what is that called? That's called acid. What is it?
He uses vitamin C powder. Like,
which is ascorbic acid. So I use that to take the chloramine, because we have chloramines. I use that to get the chloramine out of the water. I put a little bit of that in. It also drops the pH down a little bit. Although the big controversy now has been, you know, doesn't make a difference what your pH is, right? That's kind of the new controversy. And I don't know, but I do know that I try to do what the internet has kind of told me to do, YouTubers. I try to keep it around 65, you know, pH. And I try to get it down there somewhere. But now I almost don't care. But I bought a pH pen, so I might as well use it. You know, I spent some money on it. So that's about the only thing I use my pH pen for, is adjusting my water. And to be honest with you, if it's below 7 and above 5, I mean, I really don't care. But I get it out of the tap. I know I'm long-winded here, but I get it out of the tap at probably a little above 8.5, maybe going to 8, I get it. And so I bring it down to under 7, maybe 6.5, and then throw it in there. I think you talked about also the watering habits that I have. The watering habits, when I first started out, I was in 5-gallon, 3-gallon. I did some experimenting with different size pots. And it was dry back for sure. I don't recommend doing those smaller pots without doing it any other way, is dry back. I have learned a little something, you know, drying them back doesn't mean drying them out completely. Mm. You know, I don't think I really knew that until I started with these bigger pots and started and stressed out I think my first time I grew in those pots, I stressed my girls out a little bit. They gave me some seeds. And I only go back when I do dry back on my new pots, my 7-gallon pots. I try to keep them wet most of the time. And I will do dry back on them. I use the Blue Map moisture meter. I really recommend getting a moisture meter. There's a couple little things that I bought for my grow that I think I waited to buy, you know, thinking I could get by without them. So I don't like buying stuff, and I don't like putting extra. There's so many gadgets and gimmicks out there and different stuff. I don't think I just dive in on anything. I think I really take my time in getting there. And you're the reason why I bought my blue mat, by the way. I was watching a podcast where you were talking about the blue mat moisture meter. You didn't have one yet. Yeah, you didn't have one yet, but you were talking about buying one. And then, of course, I got to have what Mr. Grow It has. You know, so, you know, not only that, but I wanted to get them. So I bought one. And then I discovered when I bought it that, you know, big old huge carrot.
Oh, my goodness. He's like, it's so big.
I expected to have something I was going to be putting in each bag and checking the soil on, of course. So in for a penny, in for a pound, give me another three of those because now I got to get, you know, to my other containers.
They're expensive.
So I find myself drying out my container when I'm doing dry back on them too, about 25%. You know, I leave about 20, 25% of water in there when I do a dry back. And that's a good dry back. And that's how we were talking about, what is it, IPM or PM or whatever it's called?
PPM?
No.
You know, pest management.
Yeah. And the only pests I've ever had in my grow really are gnats. And, you know, we've had a few seasons where it was a big joke because I thought I handled it with mosquito dumps. And lo and behold, it was just a dry back that got rid of my.
Yeah.
It was so the next season. So here I have this big old huge tray of these dunks, and I'm going to tell the world how I fix gnats in your tent. I'm going to tell the world how you do this, and it's just through so these mosquito crazy. Dunks, you know. And I soaked them for a long period of time, so I got the PPMs way up on these on the mixtures of these things. And I went. I one of my girls suffered. Okay, because I think they were drinking it. They absolutely wasn't killing a gnat. And I used it I've used it from the time they were seedlings, basically, because I brought gnats in, as stupid as that sound, because I wanted to show
how easy it is to get rid of the gnats.
Yeah.
It's so easy, right?
So I stunted. And this is what you can't do when you're only going four plants, right? But you're also trying to create content. Right. Well, I'm trying to create some content, but not ruin my grow. I mean, it's so important to me to get my yield and my grow. So I stunted one of my girls doing this. She had the gnats; they were flying everywhere,
it was Lily.
Yeah,
Lily.
I'm sorry. I went off on a rant. And so anyway, so going back to watering, how I water. So in watering, so anyways, I like that 7 gallons for growing organically and being able to put a moisture meter in there of some kind. I don't necessarily, you know, the blue mat's working great for me. It does. It works excellent. But I know there's other moisture meters out there that work just as well, if not better.
It's better to keep all those little microbes in the soil active using, you know, keeping it moist all the time. And I got really into the microbes. I like the, you know, I made microbe TV because it's really cool to look at that stuff under a microscope. There's a lot going on.
I would have to say I try to keep my pot moist when I get them in the 7 gallon. Now I'm doing dry back. In the seedlings stage, all the way from the solo 1.5, I'm doing dry back. When I get into the 7 gallon pot, I like to keep the moisture at about 75%. So I water to 75%. And then the next day I come in and, you know, if they're drinking water, it's going down to 50%. So I'm adding 25%, keeping it about. And that's about with the blue mat moisture meter, that's what enables me to do. And when I see a gnat problem now, I know how to get rid of them. By the way, if I didn't mention those mosquito, I must have used 20 of them that season, 30 of those things.
They don't work.
They just don't work. I tried them every which way. Forget about those. I've conclusively proven those things do not do squat. But dry back will take away your gnats almost immediately. Well, they take 2 weeks to die, so I've done my study.
And do some bottom watering while you're
I do all kinds of dumb back. Stuff. I do all kinds of dumb stuff because I have a moisture meter and I'm able to. And that's what makes me be able to do it because I can put a moisture meter in there and go, okay, I'm down to 25%. I see some flying around, so I'll just bottom water them for a couple weeks, right? So I'll just hit them on the bottom and get them back up there and make sure the soil on the top, the first couple inches, doesn't really have a chance to really get wet again. So I'll dry it out for the top of it for a couple weeks. And when I don't see anything flying around in there, I know it's safe again to get my 75% water back in those pots. And I feel like this has been just worked out really good for getting rid of gnats and not stressing out my plants at all. They don't suffer at all. I get rid of the gnats. This has just been the best way for me to do it. It's just been awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, moisture level in the medium is so important when it comes to quality and yield, right? If you have too much moisture in the medium, you're going to stunt your growth and you're going to hurt your yield, right? Too dry, same thing, you know, lack of access to that nutrition, right? That's pretty cool that you actually are using the Blue Mat moisture meter, because I'm using it as well. And just to dive a little bit deeper into that, it has a millibar reading on it. And I think Blue Mat recommends, correct me if I'm wrong, was it a 50 to 100 millibar in order to have, that's like their optimal moisture level. Now, some people will dial it into 80 or 100. I think it's the higher it goes, the more drier it is, right?
Yeah. And I will basically, when I water it, I will water it. It says saturated, but I know what's in the soil because same those 7 gallon pots, they take approximately 2 gallons of water, 8 quarts, 8 liters, whichever way you want to look
and
at it.
That's saturated.
That's saturated. So I know if I dry those things out, I mean completely, because I did that to grow before. Until my plants were drooping, dried it out completely, the 7 gallon pot. They will literally take 2 gallons about to make it right. And well, when I do a full watering on my plants, I'm drawing, let me try to get this, my head straight wrapped around this. When I do a full watering from dry back now, it's when I do a dry back on those, to get them completely saturated where I have any runoff, I'm only adding 6 quarts, right? So you know there's 20%. So I'm not going completely down on it. It's absolutely important, like you said. And I have noticed through veg, that's when you notice all the growth. Keeping those girls wet has just stimulated the growth so much on those. And like I said, it's helping the microbes. They're not going into a dormant state anymore. So they've got that, you know, before when you're doing dry back. And dry back's great. And there's a lot of people that have been growing for 30, 40 years doing dry back. And it works for them. And they're growing with smaller containers and probably using synthetics, and quite honestly, and probably, you know, running off on it and doing other things. We're organic. We just let that pot soak it right back up. I'm not measuring PPMs coming out at the bottom. I mean, and then once I water it completely and saturate it, of course, the next day from watering the 7 gallon, it's still going to show saturated. It's going to be only at,
yeah,
it's going to be probably 50 millibars even the next day after saturating. So it takes 2 days to bring it back to that 75, you know, that 75 or even to the 50 where you want to water it. Because when it gets down, for me, when I come into the grow room and see it really, 120, if it's 120 millibars, I'm kind of looking at it like, oh my goodness. If it needs to be watered, it's only like 1 quart. So usually when watering is really going for me in the grow, it's a couple quarts a day in each of those bags. And so when I come in, the millibar will go from saturated the day before, because I put 75, filled it up 75%. It will go to somewhere between usually around 180 to 300, you know, depending to 300. And that doesn't necessarily mean it is drinking more. Oh, I just keep such a good chart of drinking and have really learned how to water. And some girls, when they're drinking more, and it says 300, it only wants a couple, what would you call a liter? Like a couple, what is that? Tenths?
Quarts?
Yeah, but not a whole liter, just a couple.
Ounces?
ounces. Yeah, like a couple ounces above. It doesn't need that much. It's just been, like I said, when you do use one of these meters, it's like you know your children. Do you know what I mean? You know your children. You're just so dialed in. Even if you're reading that and it's giving you an idea, and then you look on what you watered it at when it was at 300 millibars to bring it where you want it, what you watered it when it was at 200 millibars, you keep some notes.
Yeah, we do have 7-day average now. Like he's been, he actually keeps track of how much water he puts in every day, mm-hmm, and what the millibars said. And we do kind of, we keep a spreadsheet actually. And so we started doing this last grow with the moisture meter. We started doing a 7-day average for each plant.
And that's another thing I would probably suggest to anybody is write stuff down. I mean, that's been the best thing for us. And actually we have a spreadsheet that we do on our show, and I'm proud to do it because we're so transparent. We're so transparent on our grow. We want to be, because we want to help new growers and maybe give a few ideas to a couple old growers, I guess, you know, on different styles or different growing. But we really want to help. I want to help me when I first started growing, and that's who I'm really talking to every week. on our podcast is I'm talking to me. And when I was looking on YouTube and different forums, I would find some bits and bits and bits and bits. It wasn't described well enough for me. It wasn't, because I'm dumb. I need everything step by step. And I just feel like it's missing something. It's just, I mean, Mr. Canuck, get the hell out of here. He's the biggest guy on YouTube. He don't even have to do videos every 6 months. I mean, he's huge. That's who I found first. That's who I found first because I remember I started growing with Gaia Green after my first or second grow. I started growing with Gaia Green. So what do? You research Gaia Green. Who the hell's growing with Gaia Green? I got to know how to use this stuff. So I looked up his show. And I remember looking up his show. Cool. I love his videos. I love his editing. You know, I love everything about his grows. The only thing I don't love about him is the magic. There's magic in his, I'm not getting, there's something, he's missing things. I don't know what he's missing, but he's missing things. And there's a lot of magic. And I didn't want to be that YouTuber that didn't let everybody know every single detail. So we do a spreadsheet and you can find it in our description.
Yeah.
And it's watering.
It's kind of cool. It's sort of, for us, it helps us because it kind of gives a timeline, you know, for like, okay, so for up potting, for what week of veg we're in or whatever. It kind of gives us a timeline. Oh, these plants are doing a little better than last season, or ooh, these ones are slower. And we can kind of see from the what day we're on, what day of the grow, how the plants look.
Very detailed though. And that not only helps people that are interested, excuse me. That not only helps people that are interested in what I'm doing and want to know exactly what I'm doing. I mean, exactly. I can't tell you how much that means to me because, like I said, I just, if I don't have exact, then I'm just trying to go off of what dum-dums might do. You know, I'm trying to have exactly what people are doing.
And he's got plenty of competition in the dum-dum arena here because I have always had the black thumb of death in the garden, basically. And I've learned a lot, you know, about all the things that I've been doing wrong all my life with my plants killing.
But I have found our spreadsheets, which I didn't know because we were never detailing everything so much. But I have found my spreadsheets invaluable for my own growing of what I did, what week things happened, where things were at. And of course, we do the video. So now we can actually see the plants at where they were on this day, yeah. Which, you know, it's just huge. So us doing the whole thing, it's just been good for us and hopefully good for people that would like to have, you know, some good medicine, you know, and a lot of it. Like I said, we grow for yield. And we're going to go back to Kyle Cushman's. We were talking about growing for yield. And that's where he taught me. And I don't think we sketched on it, but what he taught me was about, you know, about lollipopping. And he mentioned some different things on the show the other day, you know, but I was probably watching something old that he did. And we all just kind of, you know, move around and change things as we go through life. But I've been following what he taught me when I first looked at this video 5 years ago. And it was basically, yeah, let me take a breath and stop talking for 1 second. Let me see here.
But plant training, I'm glad you're transitioning to that because that's kind of where I wanted to go next is, what do you do for plant training in order to achieve high quality, in order to get a higher yield? Yeah, go for it. Hopefully you caught your breath by now.
I would have to say I first started on forums and different things and looking at different plants and looking to see what I liked. And I just, for some reason, I love to see the canopy. You know, I just love to see that level canopy. And I think what sticks in my head, and I know it's an iconic, where you see the picture of the outdoor medicinal plant, and it's a hedge. You know, you had to have seen it. I've seen a million pictures, different pictures of people growing hedges and stuff. And I thought to myself, God, that looks so cool. That looks so cool. I want to grow that way. And then, of course, the common sense of it, of getting everything to the top, you know, and finding out that the par is the same. They're all getting the same thing. So you can get all these colas, all these tops, all to the top, getting the exact same thing. Nobody's being treated special. And it's kind of a way of bonsaiing, which you guys talked a little bit about the other day with Kyle Cushman, which I thought was kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
The bonsai. I mean, I love the bonsai. I love all the cool stuff I see in that people have time for. I'm too busy playing golf. But love looking at it. I love the art. And so this is kind of my art as well, being able to get the flattest canopy. I'm not always able to achieve it, and I'm not always able to make it look as perfect as Sedna last season. Sedna was just amazing. She just gave me this flat, beautiful looking canopy, which
for me, plant.
Yeah, and they're not all like that, but I'm striving for that. And that gets everything to the top. And Kyle Cushman, of course, helped me in this way of trimming, taking off all the nodes all the way up to the top. And, you know, taking off all those bottom nodes. And the video that I watched, and I've rewatched it, he says all the way to the top, all the way to the top. You got to have some big kahunas. You got to have huge kahunas to take all those nodes to the top, right? You think of it like.
You got to have faith.
You got to have some faith. I want to say you have to have almost religion to do that. And it helped me because when I grew my first crop, I think I was a little dumb about it all. Oh, Kyle Cushman says to do it, and I did it, right? And then I ended up getting some growth. I didn't clean it off like I clean my new ones off now. So you see on my first grow, you see stuff going down. But he had everything going up to the top. So now I use some common sense, depending on how far they are spaced on the nodes. If there's some far spacing, I don't want to grow anything that's not going to connect. And I'm trying to connect. I want everything to not only connect, I almost, when I get to the stage of trimming everything, I think I don't want to be peeling off things that aren't, you know, tight, you know, and that's how you do it. You know how you're peeling off lower buds because they're not quite connected, but they're still hard and they're still good. They're up on the top. So I'm trying to get all those hard ones as much as I can that are going to connect up on top. I use some common sense, like some plants I will take all the way up to the top because I feel you bring the energy, and Kyle Cushman said it best. You're taking all that energy from the bottom. You're bringing it up to the top. You're giving those top all the good stuff. And, you know, they end up growing. But I have also found I have a goal of getting 50 buds in a 2x2 space.
Oh, bud site. Number of bud sites was a huge thing for us. We thought we had too many at 50, but no.
I made a mistake. I made a mistake on one of my grows. Where I grew, I just did a lot of just pinching everything.
Small bud syndrome.
Yeah, we call it small bud syndrome. We have the whole thing on that because I had small bud syndrome that season, and it ended up everything got about, I got about 5 ounces of plant, and they were just little tiny plants, you know, because I pinched a lot of stuff, and then I went into transition too soon. So nothing took off. Nothing. So it just stayed like a little dome. You know, these flowers were just like a little dome. Everything was really tight. There was 50 bud sites on each of these plants. And they were all really small. But because it was so small, I did pinch them. I pinched every one of these plants all the way to the top. And they got all these nice little tops on them. And I went through the whole season going, man, I really messed up the yield on this. You know, I really messed up the yield. But we were pretty, besides we had a stunted runt. I think that was Lily that seeing we name our plants. So I think that was Lily that grow was stunted because of the gnats. So we only got 3 plants that we really, but Lily looked great, but she ended up just completely being larve. You know, she actually came out.
We think the gnats got to her.
Well, they did. She was obviously stunted, but we thought she grew some really nice looking, you know, flowers. And we thought the huge, in fact, and I thought they were going to be really, really nice. And when they dried out, they were just fluff. So I take that myself. It wasn't the seeds, it wasn't the genetics, it was me and my grow. But nevertheless, now we grow, and I really let everything veg out. Last season, everything vegged out to 6 weeks, and I think one tent I would have went another week. I think I grew a tent that I would have went another weekend, but the other tent was so. It was just going wild after 6 weeks. I just couldn't hold that one back. And I really like to flower everything at the same time and go into the whole grow at the same time. So I had to flower the other tent. And so I did. Well, I'm sorry, where was I?
Training.
I was strong. I'm so sorry, Chris.
I warned you.
Yeah. So I think I want to just finish this by saying we try to veg them out and really let them grow out to their 2x2, their 2x4. They each get a 2x2 spot in my 2x4 grow. So that's 4 of them. Each of them get a 2x2 spot. We try to really let them veg out 6, maybe 7 weeks where they're looking like they're taking up the tent. And then we flip them and we let them grow up. And I pinch like nobody else. I think I got about 2 pinches besides the top, the first top. I think I got about 2 pinches after that. And we just try to let the plant do what it's going to do, come up and try to use some common sense on the top. If the nodes are close enough, that's kind of where we keep it too, is we want those to connect. If they don't, we just go to the top. Everything's going to go to the top. We're going to get, hopefully, six.
Don't get cocky.
I get cocky. Hopefully 6 ounces on every plant. But I'll tell you what, if we get 5, we feel pretty good. If it's all dense, we feel pretty good with 5 ounces on a plant, not using anything. So that's, and try to get that flat canopy. So I use a lot of wire. You just got to come see it. It's just fun. I mean, there's almost no way to describe it. You almost have to do it.
He really enjoys the bonsaiing of it all, like the pinching and the defoliating, the tucking and the taking care. And like, he'll go, come look at this canopy.
It's this is my favorite time in the grow, is when I get to do all this manipulating of it. I mean, really, when they're like right now, they're in solo cups, about ready to be up potted. But what do? You just go down there and I watered them twice. They're so boring. And then they're going to go into the 1.5s. Again, you do dry back on them, but I'm starting to. When they get in the next one, I'm going to start bending them over and start training them immediately when they get in those things. I'll start the training, and that's when it starts getting fun for me. But when they get bigger and I have to spend more time down there, I start talking to my girls. I have a good time down there, throwing a podcast. Me and the girls have a good time. I absolutely, by the end of this grow, I'm in love with 4 new girls.
It's true.
You don't mind, do you?
I don't.
Okay. I'm absolutely in love with them because we go through and we talk about them. And for us, they really are our little children.
They're kind of immortalized. I think that's one.
I don't know if anybody loves their girls like we do. We love our girls every season.
Theme names.
So it's heartbreaking at the end when you get to chop them down, huh?
Yes. Yes. That's my pain. And now
I know that feeling.
And when I do give away my girls, because I do, I grow enough for me and hopefully enough for some of my golf buddies and some friends. And I usually don't even tell them what the strain is. I tell them their names. You know, this is Diana. This is Lakshmi. This is, you know, we have a different theme every grow, but I don't even tell them what it is. I tell them the girls' names.
You have to watch the show.
Because to me, that's who these girls are. And this season, you guys, we're going to let you in on something. If you've seen a couple episodes, girls are going to be talking to me this season. And that's what I can't wait for. Yeah. Because I go out and have a conversation, but I can hear them. Nobody else can. But Mrs. Grow Daddy, she has given them all voices this next season.
Oh, yeah. We did some AI generated characters, you know, like.
Sprite. I saw that.
Yeah.
It's our idea of fun, and we're always looking to entertain as well as maybe help people grow, and that's the fun of our show. And I think that's really that's it. This is, and to be quite honest, I don't think if we were doing this kind of content, we would really keep doing it. I think we're doing it because we really enjoy doing it from each of our aspects. I'm kind of the grower. Allie's just. She's just awesome. I mean, she is. Without her, there would be no show. That's why she's here today. If any of you are thinking without her, there's no show. There's no show. You guys would be watching me with some stupid camera in my face or some camera going like this, which I see some successful shows, but to be quite honest, I just couldn't do it without her. I couldn't do it without her. I just love what we're doing. And I love, look at me. I'm talking to Chris.
Your show is really enjoyable and informative as well. It's something that I've been tuning into quite recently, and I look forward to your future content here. Now, we could go on and on and on and continue to talk about, you know, lighting, environment, IPM, harvest, dry, cure, but the conversation would be 3 hours. So we're going to wrap things up here.
I love the way it's gone, Chris, and you're right. We can tune into my show. I hope people tune into my show that want to hear more about, you know, more about things, but God, this has been just awesome. And I was so nervous to even come on, and it just, I mean, look at me. I'm just a big old Hughes fanboy. I don't know what I'd do with Mr. Canuck. Mr. Canuck, I don't know what I'd do. If he did podcasts, I'd absolutely go crazy. I'd go crazy. He was the first guy. And like I said, I love his podcast amongst other people. I love a lot of podcasts.
He doesn't have a garden talk. This one is like,
no. And you know, I tune, and to be quite honest, I tune into his to watch his plants. He just does such a great job growing. I really do.
But we do all of our, like, almost everybody that we learn about, like, we find on your podcast. I really feel like everybody from beginner to advanced is just like watching your show.
We found a few people, but I tell you what, we found a few people on our own, but I think you've directed us to more people and more great information.
Oh, and we've got a Discord. We should probably mention that.
I was going to say, why don't we wrap things up here, give you a chance to tell people how they can find you, and is there anything upcoming in the future that you want to talk about?
Mrs. GrowDaddy, this is where she'll be.
Well, we're on YouTube at youtube.com/GrowDaddyTV. And we've got a Discord. We've got a whole bunch of other links, too, that you'll find there.
Discord's growing, by the way, to let you guys know. We're a small show. We've only got a couple thousand subscribers. So we're kind of a small show, just still trying to get our feet wet. And, there I go again. What the hell was I talking about? Uh-oh. Just I lose it just like that. Miss GrowDaddy, where was I at?
I don't know.
Help me out here. I'm dying here.
I know you wanted to mention Discord, right?
Thank you. Just wanted to mention Discord because I we don't have a lot of guys in there, but we do have guys in there, and they come from all different aspects of growing hydro and so on and so forth. And, got a lot of good growers in there. Not to mention, good place to, show your plants and get some good information. And I'll tell you what, I'm not going to let anybody get you in there. It ain't going to be like any other. I go in there and read almost everything, and I make sure nobody's in there, bullshitting people, telling people that you need 1,000 watts to grow in a 2x2 or something. I'm just not doing it.
We're kind of on it. Everyone has to be nice and polite too, which works.
That's true. We if you're not honest and polite, she takes care of you. She's definitely.
Anything uncharitable.
Thank you, Chris. Really appreciate you having us on. And what can I say? It's been an honor for me to be on your show in any way. And I hope, what can I say? Happy growing for everybody out there. Love you guys. Come on.
Yeah. Thanks so much for coming on. I appreciate it. This has been a fun conversation. And like I mentioned, we can go on and on. Maybe we need to get you back on for part two at some point this year.
Oh man. I don't know. If you don't want me back on, I'll be back on here in a minute. I'll tell you that. I don't know if you can handle me, Chris. Your editor is going to be so busy. Your editor is going to be busy.
Well, if you guys enjoyed this episode, click that thumbs up button. Definitely leave some comments down in the comment section below. What do you do for quality and for yield? Let us know. Love reading those comments and then seeing if there's any takeaways that I can do within my garden. So, Patrick, Mrs. GrowDaddy, thank you so much for coming on. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
Namaste. Thank you for having us. I'm still excited. I can't wait to get our day on. Thank you very much, Chris. See you guys. Hey, check out our show. Come on!
Link in the description for their show. Peace out, everyone. Catch you in the next episode.